glory to God. I've been here long enough to know that there are three steps up onto the platform. We gave these cards out years ago to our people. I don't know if you still have yours, but it comes out of Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then the expanded version of that, the Lord bless and keep you. He has unlimited capacity to do so. The Lord make his face shine upon you. His glory goes before you and it will defend you. Be gracious to you, God will. God's divine influence upon your heart. That's awesome. And then it goes on to say, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. His smile of approval is upon you. Everybody smile. There you go. And give you peace, a peace that continually guards you from brokenness and fixes you when you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's an ongoing prayer of, I think, most pastors. This is a message just for the congregation in a way that, you know, we've got, Tim and I were talking the other day, he said, this doesn't seem like transition. And I said, well, in my mind I thought, well, what does transition seem like? Because we've done it differently here for sure. But one of the things about transition, if God stays center focus, it's going to be a good one. Amen. We look to him, who's the author and finisher of our faith. But I felt impressed the Lord just talk a little bit about transition, and I know that you guys have been aware of, we've been trying to get this particular situation done for some time. And by the way, my lovely wife Debbie is going to be here with us the next two Sundays. And she just wants to make sure I get there. And she has been so gracious, and that body of believers, as long as it was necessary that I come and be here continually, it was not a problem with her, and she encouraged that often. And there are times she'd look at me and she said, you need to go see your family. I'm not sure what that meant, but I think it meant that she noticed that I was missing them, and which I do from time to time for sure. But anyhow, I want to just say to you that any time a transition, and I've never done it like this before ever. I've been in the ministry for a long time. I went into full-time ministry in October of 1977. And so I've never done this, but I do know that when transition happens, it just doesn't involve the leaders. It involves the congregation. And so your part is just as important as a part of the leadership change. And so that you will be focusing on a new leader, so to speak, and you will be focusing up on a leader that leads differently. But it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that they have different leadership capabilities and they'll do it differently. They'll do it the way God's put it in them. And so I just kind of want to just remind us that when that change takes place, the only thing that hasn't changed is God. Amen. So let's pray. And I believe that the Lord can get out of me what he's put in me. How many of you agree with that? And it's just nothing but sweetness, kindness, and just superb wisdom. I believe that with all my heart. So Lord, we bless you today. We thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for the teacher of the church, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for grooming us. I thank you, Lord, for training us. I thank you, Lord, most of all, for just loving us and accepting us just like we were. You accepted us while we were yet sinners. You sent your son to die for us while we were yet sinners. And because of that, Father, we've been given the greatest privilege ever to enter in through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in that name, we come into your presence completely washed by the Lamb of God. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your life that flows freely into each of our lives as we open up to the fullness of what you have for us. And Lord, I thank you. There's not one situation represented in this place today that has not already been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. Nothing, Nothing rises above the flow of that blood. And we thank you, Lord. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I first got born again, and that's been a while ago now, March of 1973, when I first got born again, I was amazed how happy I was to know that I wasn't accountable, held accountable for my life style and things that had happened in the past. It was amazing for me to find out that God washed me clean. And he no longer remembers my sin. Amen. The only way God's going to remember your sin is if you keep reminding him. Because you could go to God tomorrow and say, God, right now, I say, God, forgive me. And you go to him tomorrow and say, Lord, you know that thing that I asked you to forgive me? And the Lord's going to say, no, what was it? He has a perfect supernatural ability to forget. You and I don't. We have a God created this brain to remember everything. Well, that's why we need to renew it. Amen. Transition, it means a change or shift from one state, subject, place to another. A peaceful, orderly transition or change of power or authority. You know, we have a government that's really, if it works the way it's supposed to, is an incredible government in this country. Every 4 to 8 years, we witness a transition in leadership in this country. And what's really amazing, if you're going from one party to the next, P-A-R-T-Y, Democratic, or, and recently, of course, Republican, but if you're going from one party to another, they do it in one day at the White House. Everything's done in one day. Boom. There's lots of other stuff that's being transitioned, but the transition of the man that is now in leadership holding that office, by the way, which I don't think the one in now deserves to be in that office. Might just get one more dig in. Yeah. Lying and cheating get you nowhere. I just love me when I'm like this. Thank you for saying amen to that. But anyhow, transition, every period of life that takes place in our lives, especially when it comes to church world, because we're not a democratic republic. We're a theocracy. And what we try to do is let God be the one that puts his hand on and leads and controls, nudges us, if you will, gets us to where we need to be. If you would have told me when I came here 40 years ago, plus, 40 years plus now, that I would be here for this long and that some people would put up with me this long, I would say, man, you're a bigger person of faith than I am. I was just glad to be here. When I came here, I was very, very happy to be here. I came here as associate pastor. The founder of this church, his name is Jack Johnson, and Jack's still well, alive and lives in Springfield, Illinois. He's pretty much semi-retired, if not totally retired. But when he hired me, he got me with everything that comes my way. I mean, one thing that I was with Jack, and he's always been with me, we've been very transparent with each other. And you say, well, why would you be transparent with people like that? Because it builds an element of trust. Now, there's things I told him I wouldn't tell you. You say, why? Because it's none of your business. There are certain things that you should say, and as far as getting a release in the arena of transparency, but you need to be real selective about who that is. You just don't go shouting it from the housetop. Amen. Every now and then, I remember one guy that used to go to church. Matter of fact, let this be known that there's been a lot of people that used to go to our church. And for whatever reason, they changed, but I was invited to be a part of a memorial services yesterday evening. And it was unique. They called me to see if I would officiate that memorial service. And the fact that I was in that position was amazing to me, because in times past, I'm sure they wouldn't ask me to go get a cup of coffee. And I'm not saying that negatively. I mean, sometimes even ministers rub each other wrong. Did you know that? But anyhow, when I stood up to share, I looked out in that group of people, and I bet you over a third of them, and that place was packed, I bet over a third of them used to go here. And I'm thinking, they're thinking, how did he end up there? Because I'm so wonderful. No, I think it's because I walk in forgiveness. I'm serious. I looked out there at family after family after family, and I thought, this is going to be fun. In a good way. Good way. I even got a nice text from one of them telling me how much they appreciated what I said. And I thank God for that. But anyhow, guys, gals, brothers, sisters, we have a future. I believe the future of this church is brighter and brighter and brighter. I believe the best is yet to come. I'm thinking about, you know, I didn't come here with a joke today, but the Lord reminds me because he thinks, I saw you clapping and I probably won't. But in this one church where there seemed to be a lot of transition, pastors coming and going every 2 or 3 years, a pastor was again just letting the congregation know that he was going to be stepping aside, going to retire or resign and go to another place. And there's a little lady that's always on the front row. And he said, you know, when God tells a pastor that their time is fulfilled at a certain place, he'll take them and then he'll bring somebody better than the one that was there. And that little lady that had been there through umpteen changes, she said, that's what they all say, but they just keep getting worse and worse. Well, with Pastor Tim, you're not getting worse. You're getting somebody that has a heart for God, and I think that's an awesome thing. But what I want to do is just share with you some things that just really relate to a healthy transition. And we've had this last year has been, to me, one of the best years of my life. And I've enjoyed life. And it's been a different kind of year in a lot of ways. And this year started out a little bit strange. My good friend, Pastor Charlie Mendenhall, stepped into heaven on January 1st. Charlie never liked to lose a race, so he figures if you're going to die, die on the first day of the year. But he stepped into heaven, and that was a real surprise to me. And then I've done a couple other memorial services. But the thing of it is, our goal is to get you in heaven. And we carry sometimes along with us, sometimes a little bit extra baggage, if you will. And one of the things that coming into the kingdom of God does for you, you transition from a life of darkness to a life of light. That's the transition. If God's involved with transition, you're coming from a place that maybe is not so bright to a place that's bright with the Son of God, S-O-N of God. And so we do that in a way, but I want to just share with you just on how God dealt with Moses and Joshua and how that transition took place. And by no means am I comparing me with Moses. And no, by no means am I comparing Tim with Joshua. I'm just saying that just shows how leadership makes a transition. And it, the thing about transition is leaders might make it, but sometimes people would not choose to follow them. When I stepped into the senior pastor position here, I literally had people come in. I had one man in particular come in and my office is right here. I think Tim's redoing this office right off the ramp here up and to have his office there. But this guy came in and wanted to visit me, and he literally came in. I just had been here not more than 2 days to had laying on a hand service, and he called, made an appointment, came in. And I'm sitting there, and he comes in. He said, I just came in to tell you that you're not supposed to be a pastor in this church. And I said, really? He said, that's right. He said God was wanting me to be the pastor. And I said, well, we've got a problem. And he said, what's that? I said, well, I'm on this side of the desk. And you're not. So have a great life. Well, I wasn't that flippant. I'm just sitting there struck. You're kidding me. But anyhow, when God makes a change, and if the hand of God is on it, you can trust the hand of God. You can trust it. So for a healthy transition, we need to trust in God and His presence. Trust in God and His presence. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Not in the human leaders who are eventually going to pass off the scene. Sooner or later, the pastors are going to leave. And some people said, well, how come you hung around for long? I just didn't get any better offers. And if I did get a couple offers. I say that there was a couple offers that were pretty good early on. And I remember my response to them was this, no. Matter of fact, one of them was literally a double my salary, double my benefits. Congregation was about 300 or 400 people back then. And they really were making a move to get me to go there. And I went home and I was talking with my wife, Sandy. And I said, there is nothing in me that wants to do that. And she said, me neither. I said, easy answer. So I called them and said, no, we're not interested. And they go, really? I said, yeah. We're right where God wants us. There were times when I was going through different things here in Hayes, I'm thinking, man, I wish I would have. No, there weren't those times. And every time I would begin to think and pray and say, God, is there maybe another place? Maybe my time's up there. Silence. Not a word would be said. I had to trust in God's presence. And by that, I believe, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but in a way I am. You don't see very many pastors stay in a church for 40 years. That's kind of uncommon. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying you stay where God puts you until God's hand decides to move it. We should all learn that even in our own daily lives. You just do what God's told you to do and you'll be a happy camper. Let's look at Deuteronomy 31. We're going to look at verses 7 and 8. So God is showing us and giving us a picture of Moses' departure and then calls Joshua, telling him to be strong and courageous. I had no clue what I was getting into when I stepped into senior pastor position here. Kind of had an idea, but I had no clue. And I was like that person that John Maxwell talks about. He said, a lot of Christians, they're born again going to heaven, but they've not got a clue. And it's important that we have a clue. The clue comes from the presence of God. The clue comes from the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. But in Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, Moses called for Joshua. And as all Israel watched, he said to him, be strong, be courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as their grants of land. God sets things up. Moses didn't get to lead the people in just from some situations that he had in his life. And then God tells Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, the Lord tells Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. And I think realistically we could say something like this. I'd say, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Wes. I will not fail you or abandon you, as he speaks to Timothy. Amen. Joshua 1 verses 6 through 7. And then God begins to tell him, here's how you're going to walk in that calling. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land that I swore to the ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions that Moses gave you. There's lots of things that I believe, lots of things that Tim's learned by osmosis, if you will. He's been around, he's observed, he's watched. Not many ministers have an opportunity to step into a pastoral role having already been in that church for 15 years. You learn some things. You learn about people. You learn about how you handle people or how you don't handle people. But the thing of it is, you learn faithfulness. If there's anything that could be learned that would strengthen an individual's life, it's just being faithful to God. And being faithful to what he's called you to do. When God calls you, he promises to go with you. So many people get to a place where they really feel God's called them and then they start questioning it. That's just what the devil would like you to do. He's, no, I'm good. I'm right where God put me. And that's the position God could speak to you in. If you agree with that, say amen. So as a church, as a congregation, in the time of transition, God's word to you and me, to you as a congregation, trust him and his faithfulness. You don't have to trust in a human leader if they're not following God. So trust in him. Since all leaders will eventually pass off the scene, always go after God's presence. What do we go after? God's presence. Always go after it. Another healthy transition truth. Realize that there will be battles to fight. Battles don't stop when there's a leadership change. The enemy does everything he can to try to fight off God's leaders from getting to where they need to be. Deuteronomy 31 verse 3. The Lord reminds us, says, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations or the enemies living there and will take possession of their land. That's pretty good. God will go before you and he'll destroy the enemy. He'll take care of them. When you're walking in God's ways, God's going to take care of things. God wants you to be ready to win your battles. Amen. God says he wants us to be more than conquerors through him that loves us. He doesn't want us to be more than conquered. He wants us to be more than a conqueror. Amen. He will destroy the nations or the enemies for us. He is a good warrior. And then also in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 10 through 18, he tells you and me, and brothers and sisters, every one of us need to do this. Keep the armor of God on. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then it says, put on all of God's armor. How much of it? All of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand against all the strategies of the devil. How many strategies of the devil? A lot of times people think, well, you know, my strategy wasn't so good and it caused me some problems. Well, just take care of it and repent. But you got to know, even if you got everything cleared up, there's still an enemy that's going to try and destroy your life. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and he doesn't want you to go on. He does not want you to be a good testimony, but just the fact that you're walking with God, you already are. I belong to God. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world. How many of you know this world is dark? And against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared to kick the devil in. Well, okay. In addition to all of these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Boy, if you guys don't get anything else, pray in the Spirit. If you do not have your heavenly prayer language, you ask God to fill you and you go after it with all your heart. That's the way you pray the perfect will of God for your life. And on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That's a good passage of scripture, but it tells us that if we're putting on God's armor, that means there's something trying to destroy us. God, it would be unfair of God to call us into battle, not equip us to fight in it. Amen. And he's given us authority over how much of the power of the enemy? 1 Timothy 6:12, we find Paul admonishing Timothy to fight the good fight of faith for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. So Paul's even telling Timothy, there's going to be some struggles, there are going to be some fights. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, again, Paul says, I've fought the good fight of faith, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. In a way, that kind of is what a lot of pastors do when they go to a certain calling. When I'm called here, I think I've done that for here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be going. Amen. Jude 3, verse 3. There's only one chapter in Jude, so. But Paul again is admonishing Jude to contend or defend the faith. Contend for the faith earnestly. Don't turn loose of what you know. Keep it center focused. I've been leading this pastor as pastor, senior pastor of this congregation for 38 years, and I was associate for 2 years. making a total of 40 years, it seems that most of the most intense battles that we've ever gone through have come from within. So that's what you really have to be on guard for when you're a believer. You need to be aware of that sometimes the enemy will try to stir up stuff in the church. Because if he can stir up stuff within the church, you have absolutely no capacity to reach out. Because you're looking so inwardly. Amen. We're called to go out. So you got to be able to trust one another. Amen. So I want you as the body of Christ that you allow yourself to be consistently influenced by the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit every day. Holy Spirit, what do you have for me? And I know that there were some people, you know, when we talk about this, there was a time when Uzziah and Uriah, it starts with you, but the one that reached out and tried to steady the ark. Is that Uriah? Come on, you Bible scholars. Uzziah? Who said that? Well, if it's wrong, it's her fault. But anyhow, it's kind of, we don't think that happens today, but a lot of times people that are called into a congregation, sometimes they reach out and they try to steady it with the hand of the flesh. And that bears no good fruit. And so what you do should be to stretch out your hand to worship God and let Him fill that moment. To let Him be the one that leads and guides. He knows how to get that Ark of the Covenant. He knows how to get that anointing where it belongs. And all He wants is our willing participation, not our willing criticism, if you will. So much of the church world today is wrapped up, if you will, in social justice. I get off on that every now and then. But I want to tell you, in my mind, we should be a church that wants to help the poor. We should be a church that denounces racism. And we should be the main, but more than that, we should be the main thrust of the gospel getting out. Critical race theory is not word backed. I don't have a problem with that. But it's pretty divisive. God's word brings us together. If we live by it. Amen. Another healthy transition. Truth. Older leaders. I don't know what age that is. Because Moses didn't back out till he was 120. I don't know. It'd be frightening for you guys if I got up. Well, bless God, I'm staying here until I'm 120. No, that's not going to happen. But there comes a time when older leaders should pass on the baton, if you will, to younger generation. God's raising up, and I've said this by the Spirit of God several times, but God's raising up a generation of young lions that they're going to go after. I mean, they're going to be kind of warring lions. These guys are going to be, I mean, they're going to go in full of faith. They're not going to back down, and they're going to literally preach the gospel of Jesus, and they're not going to back. Well, there's some strong warriors coming on the scene, already are. Some of you are raising them. God has not raised you up to do anything but what He's called you to do. Numbers 27, verses 15 through 17. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, You are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a new man as leader for the community. Who did he ask to appoint a new man? He asked the Lord. You know, I was, and this, and I'll probably say this over the next couple of weeks as well, but it wasn't just me sitting around thinking, who's going to, there just came a moment in my life when I started thinking, you know what? I'm thinking Tim could be the guy. And I would talk to leadership in FCF. One happens to be a good friend. At that time, he was the national director of FCF Fellowship, Faith Christian Fellowship, of which we're an affiliate of. And he asked me, he'd come here, and he's come here and spoke several times. But one of those times, we went out to lunch, and he says, who do you think maybe is somebody that you could transition into? And I said, I've got one name right now. And I said, there may be more. And I told him, and the man's name is Lonnie. Lonnie Hilton, and many of you know him. Great man of God and used by God in a great way. Still is being used by God. And I told him, Tim, he says, perfect choice. I said, he says, it's not your choice, it's God's. I said, I agree. And so over the years, that just happened to evolve. And then, like I told you last week, we were sitting in the board meeting last week, and I was telling the guys that I think because of my relationship with Debbie, and I really felt like the transitions was going to be kind of accelerated, if you will. And as I was telling them, I looked over at Brandon, and he said, Pastor Wes, he said, a year ago when I was praying, the Lord told me. He started weeping. I looked over at Tom, and Tom was shaking his head, yes. And Charlie was sitting there, and he shook his head, yes. And they were just in a nice way saying, goodbye. And but God made it aware to them. It wasn't something that I said, is this the way it's going to happen? I didn't do that. But it made it so much easier when they listened to the presence of God and they're aware of, that's right, this has been and will be a good change. Numbers 27, Moses again, verse 15. Then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, you are a God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a new man as leader for the community. Give them someone who will guide them wherever they go and will lead them into battle. So the community of the Lord will not be like a sheep without a shepherd. Moses asked the Lord to appoint a new man as leader for that community. Someone who will guide them wherever they go and lead them into battle. So there are battles ahead, but bless God, we'll fight them with faith. We'll fight the good fight of faith. And again, no two leaders are alike. Timmy doesn't have near the sense of humor I do. Actually, he does. Got a pretty good sense of humor. He can be awfully funny. Emphasis on the awful. The New Testament church contended for leadership. Some wanted Paul. Some wanted Apollos. And they got kind of a heated argument over the deal. But listen to this. Paul planted Apollos' water. God gives the increase. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. That's what we are. For those of you that have, how many of you have been here my entire time since I've been here? Andy and Belinda? Kristen? Seth? Four of you. See, you guys ought to talk to Andy and Belinda and say, how in the world did you put up with him for 40 years? It was easy, wasn't it? It was easy. I could take them with me. We got an extra bedroom. Moses just got appointed a new man. And God brought him onto the scene. God orchestrates a church and its leaders. We can count on God to lead us and guide us into all truth. I believe with all my heart that God is in what's taking place here in the next, well, actually he's been into what's taking place here the last 40 some years. And I didn't ever think, I really did think just probably as little as 2 years ago, people would ask me, do you think you're ever going to, God's ever going to move you anywhere? I said, nah, if he's going to move me, he'd done it by now. I probably should have checked with him first. Before I just threw out those words. But, well, I won't get into that right now, but I know what happens in your heart when God says it's time to do something else. And when I decided to head east, if you will, the same voice that told me to do that is exactly the same voice that told me to come to Hayes. And that was amazing to me. And I go, I recognize that voice. Because there were times when I was here, and like I said earlier, that I would pray and say, God, is maybe Siberia would be okay if you want to move me somewhere. Just get me out of here. silence. And then I went to, well, I want to get that, I want to talk about that maybe next week. So, 1 Corinthians 5, 3 verses 5 through 9. After all, who is Apollos? Who is Paul? We are only God's servants for whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. We need everybody. We need, see, I've been planting a lot of seeds in a lot of people's lives and Pastor Tim's going to get to water some of it by the Holy Spirit. And it's going to grow up and it's going to grow up into good things. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants, the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers and you are God's field. You are God's building. You are God's church, my words. And then lastly, everybody say lastly. Until next week. God's leaders and people need to keep the Word of God at center focus in their life and pass it on to their children. Pass it on to their children. Let's look at Deuteronomy 31, verses 12 and 13. Call them all together, men, women, children, and the foreigners living in your towns, so they may hear this book of instruction and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully obey all the terms of these instructions. Do this so that your children who have not known these instructions will hear them and will learn to fear the Lord your God. Do this as long as you live in the land and as you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. One of the main responsibility of leaders or pastors, shepherds, if you will, is to feed the sheep the word of God. Remember what Jesus asked Peter? He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, well, Lord, I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. And then Jesus went to Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. Well, then feed my sheep. One more time, three times. Just the fact that he said it three times tells me he was getting Peter to get settled in what he was asking him. He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, then feed my lambs. Take care of the innocent people. Plant the seed that will cause them to grow up to be mighty women and men of God. That's a responsibility. And it's amazing to me to watch young people grow up and walk, make the determination to follow God, to make the determination to walk with God, to make the determination to put God first place in their life. And parents, this is not a knock in any way, but the most important thing you can do is keep the Word of God center focused in your life and let your children see it being lived out in their midst. I think for the most part, my children, I'm maybe we'll give them a chance to speak next week a little bit. But I think one thing that probably has helped us in our relationship is they saw that I just didn't talk about this stuff here, but I did it pretty much all the time in life. There was a few slip-ups. Amen. And it's only because Sandy made me do that. And she's not here to defend herself. But that's true. One of the most powerful things you can do is just be an example to your kids. And just do it on a regular basis. Because they will see if you're just talking a good talk. The only way you're talking a good talk is if you do the walk of what you talk. How important, Dad, would you have gone to church if you hadn't been a pastor? Yeah, before I became a pastor. First thing that happened, even when I became a Christian, I thought, well, I need to go to church. And I went a lot. Went Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Did a Bible study went to Bible studies. And don't ever get tired of hearing the Word of God or ministering the Word of God. Because I know what it'll do for life. I know what it did for mine. I know what it's done for my children's life. And we're not perfectly walking in it all the time, but I'm telling you, God is really pretty much the center focus of our time together. And it has been the same way with us getting together here. God wants a healthy transition but he also wants your participation and your willingness to think, you know, God, you know what you're doing. There are people say, well, Pastor Wes, I sure receive from you, and it'll be different receiving from Tim. But as long as he's saying what the Lord wants him to say, it's the same Lord. And that's what you want to hear. So be praying for him and be praying for me and be praying that transition. I have been convinced that not only is the future bright for this group of believers, but also for the people, light of the world. They're just a lot like you. They're wonderful people. And they've been pretty receptive. I had several when we first started. Actually, we had gotten married, and it was kind of a whirlwind romance. I mean, it was pretty. And we pretty much, I told Debbie at one time, I said, you know, we're doing everything in relationship that we have counseled people not to do. It's true. But we're so much more spiritual. But we're having a reception after our wedding. We had one here and we had one there in Topeka as well. And several of the men in the church, because she had been pastoring it since her husband had passed away, and she had been pastoring it. And the men in that church had her back. And they had come through the line and they'd tell Debbie how much they appreciate her, and then they'd look at me and say, we're watching you. And they would say stuff like, make sure you treat her well. And I said, I will. And a couple of them were bringing up, I said, I will honestly do that. I was thinking, where's Telly when I need a backup? Next time I do a reception, Telly, I'm going to bring you and say, well, you just take it to him. But the thing about it is, sheep are what God, for whatever reason, has chosen to call us. And sheep need a leader. They need a shepherd. And if you ever get to the position where you don't think you need one, then you're getting out of God's order. And that's just true. That's not a thus saith West. That's a thus saith the Lord. You need to have a shepherd. And so when the time comes when the installation of Tim takes place, when we lay hands on him on the February 13th, which just happens to be Debbie and I's 1 year anniversary as well. But that is going to be a special moment. And then that's when you just, and already people are giving their hearts to him. I understand that. I've seen that way back when I first started having him fill in. When I'd go to a meeting or something, I'd come back and people would come up to me and say, Pastor, you need to leave more often. Tim does a great job. And I was thankful for that. And Tim, and that's why a lot of people have been said, what can I do to help? I've been real reluctant to just do anything because Tim's coming on the scene and I don't want him to have to deal with my decisions, but he can deal with you when he comes on and continue to pray. How many of you men are still praying for him every morning at 7:07? My alarm went off this morning. Again, I'm thankful for that. But God has not given Pastor Tim a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and a sound mind. And he is well able. He is strong in body, and his lung capacity is growing to normal in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, your participation is wanted and it's needed, and God can use you like you've never been used before. Listen, God has a plan for every person sitting in this place. And I'm not just saying that. I'm just saying God has a plan for you, but you have to go with God for that plan to be lived out in your life. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's just a little step by little step, but God will get you to where he wants you. Can you say amen? Well, stand with me. Take a look at the clock. Maybe take a picture of that clock. But I'm going to pray for you and then I'm going to dismiss you. Father, I pray for these people, these wonderful people that you have sent here. And God, I thank you that your anointing is upon them. And Father, I thank you for that peace that continues to grow strong, envelop each and every mind, heart, and saturate them, Father God, to the place where they're just absolutely convinced that nothing but the goodness of God is going to prevail in their life. and I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you that this is a day that you have made, that we can rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, I bless that name of Jesus, and we declare, Father God, that the transition in this church will be smooth, it will be of the Lord, and it will involve the presence of Almighty God by the Spirit of the living God. And all that agree with that said, amen and amen. Well, turn and look at somebody and say, I'm glad you came, and you are dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday or next Sunday.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.